Welcome back to the Guildhall Podcast. Please visit us at the-guildhall.net and join us on Discord.
Welcome back to the Guildhall Podcast, an actual play RPG podcast. We are back for the first time in a very long time. I hope you guys have been enjoying my AI adventures that I've been releasing now. Anyway, we are back to continue the Rodania game with the Rodania family, because someone's about to get out of prison. So, let's leave it to the head of the households, so that he can introduce his character and then pass the torch. So, Robert, who are you playing?
Hey, my name is Robert. I will be reprising and or playing as Jornan Eastward, the halfling paladin who was a baron of the Eastward family and then got captured in a brutal fight against the forces against Agathenia, the Great White Worm. And joining me together in prison, it seems, is Velvet. Go ahead and introduce your character.
Right. Hello, everyone. My name is Ravon, or Velvet, through Discord. And today I will be playing Sierana Lindis, a half-elf bard. But bard only insofar that's what she does. But she's more of a princess, really. Bard is just how she fights. And my character is a would-be queen who was, at the last second, robbed and upstaged by a mysterious coup d'etat seemingly led by her sister. And now, accustomed to a life of honor and riches, she is living a wild life out in the open, as she was cast out from her kingdom, and she will do anything to take it back. So she has been through a wild journey, and right now it seems like she is on the hard side of it. I guess that's mostly a description for her. Okay. If anyone else would
now,
like to...
I'm about to say, now you pass the torch over to someone else in the group in order for them to introduce the character. Sorry.
All right.
Should have mentioned that.
So I pass the torch to let me look at the group. Jorgen?
Yeah, sure. Hi. I'm Jorgen. I'm playing Darius Quarterly. It's a reprisal of a role for this campaign. I'm a cousin of Jornan Eastward, who is in prison. I am the chef slash spy master for the family. I've recently come back to our mainland, apparently. Well, to the mainland of the territories, from our previous journey to a different island.
Watching over our new established colonies.
Yes. Now we're back. Clearly it's a prison.
Already empire building.
Relanded, you're okay, sort of. You want to get your original land back? I get it.
Well, I'm clearly here bringing my food cart to infiltrate and break out your... That's clearly what I'm doing. I'm not sure. I think that might be the plan. We're back. Anyway. We also have Cypher's back.
The legend. God help you all. from a long hiatus, I return, and I've come bearing all of the dark powers that I've accumulated in my absence. My name is Eldritch Pith. That's right. It's a pretty good name for like 10 minutes of the Anyway, I'm Eldritch Pith, and I am a necromancer. I'm a wizard. But yeah, so I'm a high elf, and I've decided to choose Acolyte, as I am an acolyte of the Ghoul Lord, and that's how we are going to be, that's how we're going to get the Ghoul Lord to give us fucking money. What's that all mean? Who knows? Let's kick it on over to our DM to take the handles and lead us into this wild adventure. Hell yeah.
We're going to concentrate on Sirianna's point of view. So, last we left off, so you guys had your adventures down south. At the very least, one of you had an adventure down south. You have received information that the war with Agathenia has actually been whatchamacallit, there is actually a peace treaty that has originated, and all of the nobility that was captured is being released. They are being released on the first day of Growfest. So if you look at your calendar, it is currently the first day of Growfest in 995. Since I'm going to have some events that are going to have to now actually happen on a clock, we actually have a clock going on. So anyway, so we're going to go do a short flashback. Thank you. I couldn't fix that parse in my head.
It broke me too, Parrot.
We're going to have a short flashback to fill in what happened with Syriana since she is a new character.
Yes. So,
the bitter winds of the Material Plane bit at Syriana Lindis as she emerged from the Feywild at Glimmercross. So I'm going to point out where that is this. So for people who are unaware, Glimmercross is a Feywild crossing. It is a city that exists on both planes simultaneously. The city itself is the crossing.
Okay.
There'll be more information about that at a later point. A town straddling both realms with its ethereal glow and tangible structures. Despite the tension in her posture, she maintained an air of confidence. The journey ahead to Silver Spire Keep was fraught with risk, but her mission to secure allies for her bid to reclaim her throne of Irvin left no room for hesitation. Syriana was accompanied by a small but loyal cadre of guards, warriors from her homeland, and emissaries of her cause. They moved swiftly, staying clear of Rodania's more war-torn regions, yet ever aware of the dangers lurking in this fractured kingdom. The group have been traveling through a narrow mountain pass leading to Silver Spire Keep, which is right here. Golden Reach, if you look down here, Golden Reach City and Silver Spire Keep, that is basically the capital city for the Estellian lands. I will point out the Estellians have basically been maintaining their own independence and still attempting to unify the rest of Rodania around themselves, where the country itself is still fractured since basically the army, basically you had the twin calamities that hit Rodania simultaneously. You had the flooding of the west side of the country, which killed off the royal family and basically destroyed the entire Renderal family itself, was completely destroyed. And you basically only have the remaining nobility of the Sumir and the Estellians. Sort of in the west, you still have the dwarves holding their mountain clans up in the Stonefoss clan region. The Stonefoss clan region, I will say, avoided most of the calamity because they live in mountains and mountains are hard to flood.
Hey, Prawn?
Yes?
Is Hammerdeep or Stonefoss, is that what we're... the dwarven city, I suppose?
That this is a different dwarven city than the one that you're thinking of.
Okay.
Anyway, so Hammerdeep, which is the main hold of the Stonefest clan, I'll just fill this in. Hammerdeep is the main hold of the Stonefest clan. The dwarves know it as Hammerdeep. That is the name of the hall. Everyone else refers to it as Stonefest because it's the Stonefest clan's hold, because they don't realize that Stonefest is the clan's name. They just say it's Stonefest. So most likely, this family probably refers to it as Hammerdeep because of what you call it. Because of Darius Corduroy.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
All right.
The group had been traveling through a narrow mountain pass leading to Silver Spire Keep when the attack came. Without warning, dragonborn warriors clad in icy white armor descended upon them. The dragonborn moved in terrifying precision, their ambush a deadly display of tactical superiority. Syriana's guards reacted with practiced discipline, forming a protective line around her. The skirmish was brutal. Her guards fought valiantly, their blades flashing against the encroaching dragonborn, but they were overwhelmed. Each of her protectors fell, their blood staining the snow as they bought her precious moments to escape, yet the dragonborn were relentless. Syriana herself stood defiant, drawing upon her arcane training to unleash a burst of magical energy. Shimmering notes of her voice briefly halted their advance, but the strength of dragonborn numbers proved insurmountable. She was disarmed, shackled. Her protest met with cold indifference. That is when you were taken to Silver Spire Keep. Upon arrival, Silver Spire's the other. Silver Keep loomed before her, an imposing fortress of ice and stone. Its towers pierced the sky, radiating an aura of cold dominance. Syriana was led through its frost-laden halls to a holding area. Her jewelry was confiscated. She prepared for the worst. To her surprise, the warden of the prisoners was an elderly dragonborn named Jorvik, whose demeanor was calm and unexpectedly kind. Unlike the ruthless soldiers who captured her, Jorvik seemed to take no pleasure in the suffering of others. Instead, he assured his prisoners were treated fairly and fed adequately. On some days, the serene environment within the keep, combined with Jorvik's care, reminded Syriana of her time in Caladriel. It was a strange juxtaposition of fear and comfort that disarmed her expectations. Her cell was simple but not harsh, a modest pile of furs, a small desk, access to daylight through a narrow window. Meals were consistent and warm, and she often found herself in conversation with Jorvik, whose wisdom and stories provided a sense of stability. After several weeks, Syriana's behavior convinced her captors that she posed no significant escape risk. Her calm demeanor and lack of defiance earned her greater freedom within the keep. She was allowed to walk the halls under minimal supervision, even had her jewelry returned, a gesture of unexpected trust. During these moments of relative liberty, Syriana encountered another prisoner, Baron Yornin Eastwood. At first, their interactions were brief and formal, but over time, the two formed a friendship. Yornin, much like Syriana, appeared to accept his captivity with a surprising calmness. His measured outlook and ability to find solace in small freedoms reminded her of the importance of patience and planning. Jorvik, noting their rapport, granted them access to the keep's library, a rare privilege among prisoners. The library, though modest, was a treasure trove of ancient texts and knowledge. Syriana and Yornin spent hours poring over histories, maps, and tales of heroism, finding distraction and purpose in their studies. For Syriana, these moments brought a sense of normalcy and intellectual engagement that eased her isolation. On certain days, the warmth of the library's hearth and companionship of Yornin almost made her feel like she was back in Caladriel. Amid the newfound freedom, Syriana realized a harsh truth. If anyone had been tracking her movements, they would have encountered the ambush site, a scene marked with the deaths of her guards and devoid of her presence. The likelihood of looters scavenging the area meant that personal effects left behind were long gone. To the outside world, she was almost certainly presumed dead. The revelation struck her deeply. While it gave her some comfort to knowing that she was free of immediate pursuit, it also isolated her further, knowing that her allies and enemies alike might think her lost to the wilderness. Yet, it was in this perceived death that Syriana saw an opportunity. She could bide her time, gather her strength, and plan her return with the assumption that none would expect it. Treaty and release. Perfect. When the treaty between Redania and the White Dragons was ratified, Syriana and Baron Yornin were escorted to the gates of the Silver Keep. Jorvik, the elderly warden, met with them one final time. His warm but weary smile carried quiet pride as he handed the small provisions for the journey ahead. Syriana and Yornin stepped into the icy wilderness together, their breath misting in the frigid air. They exchanged a glance, one of mutual understanding and respect, forged in captivity. That is where we will start the game.
Oh, yeah.
Can you repeat that last sentence? Sorry?
Okay. So basically, the two of you were escorted out of Silver Keep, right here, into the wilderness one last time. You were given provisions. I will point out you are given 250 gold each.
All right.
Because dragons have immense hordes. Additionally, I will be filling in Yornin. You'll be given something else additionally. All of your personal effects have been returned to you. Specifically, you, all of your personal effects have been returned to you, Syriana. Yornin, all your personal effects were returned to you, minus one, which I will get to in a moment. So,
okay.
Do you want to do that first, or do you want to have your two discussion first?
I mean, discussion. We can have a flashback of how I absolutely flip on someone for not returning my heirloom. But yes. Lady Lindis, what's your plan now? Do not desire to tell you what to do. You have the possibility and or ability and or want to return to the Feywild where you came from. If not, then I would offer you shelter as far as I can find it within these lands unknown to you.
I very much appreciate your kind words. I would, as much as I would like simply coming back, I can't just perform such a simple action. I need to gather forces and do many of other things before I can actually set it, before I can actually come back. I do have a little question, DM. Is it that we were released because of a treaty between what and what?
Okay, so I'll get back into this. So basically what happened was unnamed individuals attacked Silverkeep, which is Agathania's lair. Agathania took this as an invasion by the Rodania, which is the country to the west. And mm-hmm. she basically sent her forces basically into the land and basically started a war with all the forces into the land. Rodania was completely unprepared, and they had just faced a large calamity in the west. And so basically, or actually, they were just about to face a large calamity in the west, technically. Mm-hmm. So basically all the land over here was basically completely invaded because they had to go through Narrowmark, which is right. Oh. You're not actually seeing the map. You're watching the screen.
Okay. I am seeing.
So, So Narrowmarch. So basically, the Agathania's forces have to go through Narrowmarch, which is here, and then they basically funneled out into the Greater Rodania. Some of the forces journeyed south and attacked the Stellian lands. Some of the army journeyed north. Some of them went straight west. So, what ended up happening was the armies in the south faced forces from the Stellian lands. The east side of the Estalian lands were invaded, but they managed to basically form a defensive hole down closer to Silver Spire Keep. This is sort of where you were captured on your way into the keep. So you were captured by their forces because this whole area over here basically fell first. Okay. On the flip side, in the north, they had to face off against the dwarves of Hammerdeep, which the dwarves are always planning for an invasion.
Okay.
Dwarves have a very militaristic background. So they had their Stonewatch, which are their three basically strongholds in the closest mountains in the Iron Rot Mountains, as well as Hammerdeep. And when the dragon armies basically invaded the mountains, they met a fierce resistance from the dwarves. So basically, they were halted at the north. They were halted in the south eventually, and then they basically were able to push towards the center. But they eventually basically were just the supply lines wouldn't hold because they were facing attacks from the south and from the north, and that basically is what stopped their advance through the lands, and what is currently going to be forming what the next 5-year period will be. So when the peace treaty was ratified, basically the agreement was all of the lands here are now unclaimed. So the nobility that these lands belong to is gone. The Dragonborn, they have no official domain. And basically what's going to happen is over the course of the next 5 years, whoever is holding on to these lands will basically be given formal ownership of the lands. So any sort of lands here, if you can basically form an army and sort of defend that land and sort of say, no, I have been ruling over this land, that land is now yours. Okay. So that is what is currently going on here. I don't remember your original question. So what was your original question?
My question was, who were the agents of this treaty? Like, it was a treaty between whom and whom?
Okay, so all of dragon kind belong to what is known as the Council of Worms. So after Tiamat died, which goes into backstory, which you're not aware of, which I'll fill you in another time, although I think I told you some of the story. Anyway, so all of Dragonkind basically have unified around the idea that Reshep put forward, which is to form basically I wouldn't say a government, but basically there are all the powerful dragons sort of form a coalition and sort of decide upon their own sovereignty, so that they could all basically ensure that their lairs are safe, like politically safe, so that they're not going to be invaded by any specific country or anything like that.
The white dragons, powerful of each of the dragon types, have been invited. Agathania is the most powerful white dragon, but she was uninterested in politics and basically just told them to shove off until she was forced by the rest of the council to appear and make her case because she just invaded a giant country.
Basically. All right. Okay.
So, Agathania has officially joined the council, which now brings the council to every draconian color with the exception of red, because red have been expressly forbidden from joining the council. Because red backs, the red dragons backed Tiamat. So the red dragons have been basically racially kept out of it because dragon politics.
No.
So the treaty was ratified, and it was the adherents were basically the Council of Worms, which Agathania is now a member of. The Astellians, the Sumer, there was another, I believe there was another, I'll look it up later. There was another nobility, which is not going to come into effect right now. The Dwarves of Hammerdeep, as well as a few of the other countries around the world. So they were all adherents to the signature to ensure that this is a peace treaty that we're all going to enforce.
Okay. Thank you. Now that I know the nature of our release, I want to continue the conversation with Jordan.
Yes.
So, Jordan, as much as I would love simply coming back home, I can't quite. I also need to, although I suppose you were what we were told exactly the nature of our sudden release, I'm not going to lie to you. I somehow found some sort of comfort or solace in the keep that they held us in. I don't know if you felt the same.
Yes, I enjoyed the library. I did not enjoy the jail cells.
Well, naturally. However, don't you think that sometime in the future, we might be able to talk to Jorvik again? Jorvik? The warden? Jorvik. We might be able to talk to Jorvik again. He seemed like a good dragonborn.
Yes, probably. Maybe. Potentially.
Speaking of which, Jorvik will come out. Hold on. Speaking of which, Jorvik will come out. He is holding a case.
Oh.
So he comes out and he says, Master Jornan, I am very sorry to inform you. We have went over all of our items, and we were still unable to find your blade that you had when you were arrested.
Oh.
As
recompense, I am prepared to offer you one of these. And he basically opens a case, and there are three blades inside. So if you click the link I currently put in.
I looked at it, yep. I will choose the Frostbane.
Okay, you're going to choose Frostbane. All right. Yep. So you will be given the Frostbane longsword.
Yep. Short sword,
because you're Catholic.
And I will tell him that while it is a good sword, it is not a replacement for what has been lost. I thank you for your efforts to make us comfortable and whole and hearty. Have my troops been released?
Your troops were released last year. They were released with the express agreement that they would be, because the war was still ongoing, we kept their weapons, but we told them that we would release them to either Fruselholm or if they wish to just journey back to the lands themselves. And they were all released last year. So again, when you were assumed to just be a soldier,
yes,
you were all told you will be released without weaponry or armor 1 year from now. So basically they held you all for 1 year and then just released you back. They were willing to pay for transport in Fruselholm if they wished to basically head to any of the other continents in order to basically start their life new, or if they wanted to, they could journey back themselves into the lands. That was basically the agreement they had. You're done with this war. Take you're allowed to leave.
Yep. I thank you. And I would like to offer you a gift, if you would take it, Master Warden.
He seems surprised.
I offer you the gift of three names whose identity I will take my utmost to spare if so necessary. that they shall be returned unharmed and unspoiled to you.
Okay.
It may not be the general who has killed my friend, nor may it be one of the brood who has taken the lands.
All right, he will give you the three names. I will give it to you at a later time because I would have to figure out what they're going to be.
That's fine.
But he would know it, so.
Yes.
Since you're swearing bloody revenge.
I am swearing bloody revenge. I have also not been released after a year without arms and armor. I have been left prisoner, and one of my friends got murdered because they thought it was me. So I am fully hellbent on revenge.
Oh.
Now, I
am a paladin of conquest. I am not a paladin of niceness.
I will point out, for the sake of people listening, because you're aware of this.
Yes.
There was definitely, this guy basically did his duty as he saw fit with the utmost respect and utmost sincere.
I'm not blaming him.
Yes, exactly.
I'm not blaming him.
You were treated very poorly by the general of the Western
Army. Yes, I will not spare him, even if he gives me
that. That is the one you're going after. So.
Yes.
Oh my god.
And then I take the blade. I give a bow to him. And then Frozenhorn would be this way, wouldn't it?
Okay. So just to put a fine point on it, formally, you're at peace with Agathania, the Silver Keep, and personally, with the Warden, he's going to give you three names of, I guess, his family members that you could basically send back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Having said that, I have not signed anything.
That is true.
Also, I'm an unclaimed lands where my former barony is. I am fully at war still. So, but that's a problem not for the Warden. That's a problem for everyone else.
Okay. So we are now going to go forward. So you guys can continue talking amongst yourselves, but I'm basically going to push forward 2 days in the story.
Real quick, can I say something real quick to Jordan and to Jarvik? I say to Jordan, my, what a vengeful little creature. Was that really warranted? Me not knowing everything that, you know, that has happened to you.
You're saying that to...
I'm saying that to Jordan. Mm-hmm. Are you really taking it out on the person who was the kindest to you during your captivity?
I'm not taking that out on him. This is why I'm giving him a gift. I give no such chorus to anyone else.
My, I see. What a generous person. Jovic, see,
yes,
I wondered something during my entire captivity. You see, it seemed to me that you were somehow too proficient at this profession. In fact, one might say that this profession might not fit you very well. Did you decide this path of profession, or was this thrust upon you?
When the war started, I figured that this would be an area of respite for individuals who are sort of caught up in the melee. And I believe that, at the very least, you are one of those individuals.
Right. Well, I believe you delivered very well on that vision. And should you ever not be happy with your current state of profession, I will not forget you. Thank you.
Thank you, my
lady. You will always have a place of respite in my kingdom.
He gives you a awkward bow. It is not a thing that Dragonborn... Dragonborn nobility sort of perform. Dragonborn, especially the Agathania's brood, have been more militant, so you get more, like, gestures. You get more, like, whatchamacallit gestures.
Right.
What's the term?
Are you looking for salute?
Yeah, salute, thank you.
Old?
For some reason, I'm lacking certain words in my brain. Anyway, they're definitely more of a salute culture, but he understands, he's seen people bow, so he will give you sort of like a semi-awkward bow.
All right.
it is the equivalent if you ever see like a white person in like Japan and the Japanese bow to them and they like bow back. It's like, okay, I don't know how to do this. It's like that type
of gesture. Do I happen to know, maybe I don't know if you want me to roll for it, but do I happen to know like the curtsies that the Dragonborn have?
You probably would have picked up the salutes and stuff like that, so I'm sure there's sort of an equivalent that you can perform back.
All right.
If you want to make a perform check.
Yes. I would like to roll a performance check, and with my knowledge of the Dragonborn curtsies, I would like to respond.
I'll even give you advantage on the roll because.
Thank you. Because I just want to respond in kind and let him know that I understand his culture. Uh-huh. And I am forever grateful. I will not forget it. So I roll. Okay. I don't know how you want me to roll.
I am setting it up. You got a 17 on your roll. I don't know what your bonus is.
17 plus my performance is 4.
Okay, so you got a 21. So you perform it impeccably?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh.
And by that, I perform the Dragonborn curtsy, looking at him in the eyes. And with the gesture, what I'm trying for him to know, like to the message, the hidden message that I want him to see is, the kindness that you've shown me is, I don't take it as, like your country's kindness with my people,
you're taking it personal
kindness to me.
Yeah. Okay.
So like I'm performing like heavy eye contact.
With your performance, I'm willing to say you convey that hidden message.
Okay, thank you. That's it.
I think Jordan's whole deal is it's like, I'm pissed with everything you stand for, but not with you personally. I have little trouble with who you are. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of trouble with whom you serve.
Okay.
Right, but that can be changed, Jordan.
Yes. I don't think he will, however.
Give it time. Eventually, he will. Maybe I whisper onto his ear. I say, "Give it time. Eventually, he might change. He might serve another lord or lady." Kind of winking at you to convince you that, like, eventually we might take him out of that place.
I'm gonna stone, paper, scissors here for him when it comes to that. All right. Let's get ourselves a riding animal, and I will summon a goat. Not from the artifact, but in fact my personal goat.
Okay.
And offer to Sierra that we write.
Thank you.
Okay, since you have the goat, I'm gonna just assume that she was offered a riding lizard from the Dragonborn.
Okay, but I don't think they knew that I had a goat because that is a
you blow a whistle, a goat comes down from the mountains, and you get
pretty much. Yeah, that is that's a paladin ability.
I know it's a paladin ability.
I love that. That is now a full on paladin ability they have. It's new rules.
You're playing Breath of the Wild or Witcher. It's just like you blow the whistle, your mount comes. It's like okay,
I love it.
Yep.
All right.
In the normal circumstances, it would be a pony or anything else, but
in our family, it's goats. I get it.
Is in our family, it's goats. Yes.
Okay.
Right. Now, you said something about going. Where exactly?
Yeah, I can't see the name anymore because the Dungeon Master put our characters in Fruzo. Yeah. It is the closest harbor city. With a great amount of like different people, which is closest to the mountain range where we are.
It have lies you to the... have any connections there?
Outdated, I would say. I've been here for a while.
Outdated.
Yeah, I don't know. Years ago, I sent people here, and years ago, we tried to make trading caravans going from there, but I don't know where that went off anymore after my capture.
It hasn't been explicitly stated, but I am going to say that Jorvik did send word to your family and that people are going to meet you in Frusenholm. That will just be laid out so that Darius's character will start coming to the story now.
All right, excellent. I guess then, yes, Sierra.
Because, again, he was kind to you. You guys didn't prove... You didn't all just fight the guards the entire time you were there.
I didn't fight the guards or anything, no.
Right.
I probably made some mental notes of where to later infiltrate the keep at some point, but I didn't fight the guards or anything.
Yes. All right. By your family... Okay.
You took up painting and you took up drawing and painting, and it turns out the drawing and painting are like intricate maps of the entire estate. It's like
if you do remember, I wrote an intricate letter to my son about where I am, among other things. Yeah. So yes, that is very in character.
Are you
fond of your family?
Yes.
You're in terms with them. You're their representative or something.
I mean, I was. Now my son would be the representative, yes.
Ah, I see.
I'm very fond and I trust the people who were sworn to me.
Right. All right, then. Let's get going.
All right.
Why do you ask?
Well, number one, I was wondering, because I guess you never really touched the subject of your family during our captivity. I got the vibe that it was that you had some history there, so I didn't want to be rude. And second of all, there was always a possibility that you're not in precisely good terms, but somehow out of political gesture, they're offering you respite instead of, you know, actual hospitality.
The day I was taken was the day my barony ceased to exist. I have not had a chance to care for my family there, and my loss of the battle has, I can only presume, left them in dire straits. I am to blame for every bad thing which occurred to them over the past 2 years.
Is that what you tell yourself, or is that, like, the reality of the situation?
That is the reality of the situation.
Right. I understand. Excuse my sharp tongue. I mend my words.
Yes. It's quite all right. I do believe that someone will meet us there, and then more information will be garnered of what exactly the state of my family is.
I miss the comforts that I miss sleeping in a comfortable bed in a hospital in a place that is actually hospitable. And I could not bear myself to survive with a mere 250 gold. Which, for reference, isn't a lot, right?
If you were common, this would be more money than you've ever seen in your entire lifetime.
Oh, well, then it's fitting that I said that, yes.
Yes.
I think Jonan doesn't say anything, because was never a, like, prosperous country, which we lived in.
250, you would know is... Okay, so you have a few things going for you. While you're nobility, you were never, like... You're never the Estellians. You're never like super whatchamacallit. As we brought out in the past, you're not the Starks. You are the family who was from that Telltale game. You're the Telltale version of the Starks.
Oh my god, yes.
So it's like you were not it's not like you were poor or anything. But also, like, whatchamacallit?
All money went to the upkeep.
A lot of your money goes to the upkeep. You definitely spent the money on your people. You were always seen as a good leader and stuff like that, so you weren't like hoarding money or anything like that. Additionally, you had the situation when the whatchamacallits came in, when the Twilight Warden first came to you and then offered you a lot of money. It was like it wasn't like, oh, this is whatchamacallit. We already have a lot of money. We're not going to sign up for this contract. You're like, oh, no. This is an immense amount of wealth. This is not whatchamacallit. We should take this.
They might need it, but also I got nothing to do with it because I'm in prison right now. So,
yeah. So anyway, getting back to this.
Yes,
so, just so that we can actually get the party together. So as I was saying, so you probably got some letter. So as I said, since you were not seen as sort of a trouble prisoner, letters would eventually have started to be able to flow between you and. Let me put it this way: you got letters. You were able to send letters. The barbarian clan would have known about the family's current contacts. So you're going to be aware of the what happened to your family a couple of months after you were sort of in prison. So once you were sort of identified as nobility, you probably had personal contact with people who had contact with other people. And once that happened, you had Darius on the outside. Darius would definitely be able to send you coded messages.
Is he just getting us about pricing amount of flyers for a restaurant?
Right. John and puts together the secret messages. In that case, Sierra would have been updated that the family has dislocated to a southern continent and made their home base there.
Sierra, you would be aware. So they're on the continent of Tarnais. You're aware that that is a large desert area. There are infrequent sort of whatchamacallit. There are infrequent sort of villages and stuff sort of on the outskirts, but like the center area is a magic torn desert. It's like at some point in ancient history, something, an immense amount of magic was basically thrown at the area that sort of blighted and changed the land. You would be aware of that. In fact, if I go into the urban region, the kingdom of Lathandel actually extends into that desert. So you would be aware of it from that perspective, since you always are going to be coming from the Feywild perspective.
Oh, right. So in the main map that we're currently in, where is like where's the Fey kingdoms that you just showed me?
Okay. So the way the Feywild works is it's sort of a reflection. It's an overlapping reflection. So the crossover point you would be aware of, as I mentioned, is Glimmercross. So on here is Glimmercross. If you journey this far west, you end up in the Estellian lands, and then you sort of have your area here.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, there you go. That's it. Thank you.
Yep. All right, back to Rodinia map. Perfect. Anyway. Okay, so you arrive back at Frusil home with Darius waiting. Darius, at some point, since I haven't figured out background information, you met up with Eldrius. I'm sure he notified you about his connection with the whatchamacallit, with the ghoul lord. So the
we
pair
did fight
of you
a lot of undead things in the desert, so it might be that the ghoul lord just gave a retainer.
Okay.
Cyphers, that's kind of you. If you're okay with that, they fought a lot of undead shit in the desert, so the Gulot might just have given you as a retainer to them, as like the
retainer. Explain what that means. Like, what is like
expert on fighting necromancy shit, but gotcha. Also servant for the time being. Like, not like a butler or something.
Prisoner, I guess, like, is what you're saying.
Not prisoners. Yeah. No, absolutely not prisoner. No, it's basically like expert hired help, basically.
Gotcha. Okay, cool.
Your deity lord has basically told you, go help those people. They seem to fight undead all the time.
Okay. Jürgen, what's your character's name?
I'm Darius Quarterling.
Darius. I got confused when we said Jordan and Jorgen and
I don't know why.
I'm looking around going, what the fuck? Who's who?
we do that too frequently, but
yeah. I know. Yeah. But usually it's Sam that does it. But yeah, all right, cool.
Anyway, I'm gonna also point out, so Velvet, since you can't join the Foundry, If you look on our channels, there is a specific Foundry channel. All uh-huh. of the messages that are put in the Foundry chat get put into this channel also simultaneously.
Okay.
So if you just take a look, if you watch that channel, you should be able to see anything people are posting in the chat in Foundry. Just so you're aware.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't go the other way, unfortunately. I'll try to figure out if I can get it to go the other way. But
in my defense, I normally type something when I don't want to break the flow of the game and just make snide comments.
Yeah. So I'm just pointing that out.
Thank you.
So now we're gonna go to a 5-minute break as the group gets back together. So I'm gonna stop the recording and restart the recording, and I'm gonna use the bathroom. So let's stop the recording. So.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the adventure. Stay tuned for more episodes. You can watch us play on twitch.tv at the Guildhall Podcast channel. If you want to join a game or just say hi, stop by our Discord. Details are at the-guildhall.net. The music in this episode was created by Philip E. Ray and used under Creative Commons. Thank you, and I hope to see you next time.